Welcome to the Euro Digital Partners Insights Podcast. I'm Sean Patterson. With me again is Matthias Subic. Matthias is a networking and security expert based in Vienna, Austria, where he's been explaining technology to curious people like me for nearly 20 years. Matthias, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sean. Nice to be back.
So let's jump right in. Topic one, NYOB versus Android Ad ID. May 13th, TechCrunch reported that Google may be illegally tracking Android users in Europe via a unique device-assigned advertising identification. So if you needed yet another reason to distrust Google, and I think both of us do not, here it is. Matthias, first off, what is an Android advertising ID?
Yeah, think about it as a license plate on a car. It doesn't have any meaning in general, so it's just a random number. And it's given to your mobile phone when you switch it the first time on. So the operating system of the mobile phone just generates a number. Just the number is so long that it's mathematically proven to be unique in the universe. And this number is usually 128 bits long. It's a very common standard for such numbers. Can just be generated and then given out as that's me. So you don't have to track a user's name. You do not have to track a user's credit card number or anything. You just have to track this number. And every time the user comes back to an app and the advertisements inside the app, the advertiser will know it's the same user. So you can build up a usage pattern. You can build up a catalog of interests of this user. So basically, you can profile the person pretty much without having any traditional clue about an identity.
Okay, so yeah, here we've got a system which is, much as Google is advertising driven, here you have an identifier that sort of, without you having to, say, log in to a particular app or website, this is tracking you, this is telling advertisers, this is somebody that's likely to buy your product because we've tracked them across different websites and it seems that they have a certain pattern of buying behavior or something like this.
Yeah, it extends to the modern life that everything is going in apps, and apps are usually advertising driven, if not bought. Sometimes even if you buy the app, you still get ads. And so if one of the advertising is knowing when you're going to work out or going to party long, because they track, you know, the device is on, or they know because of your driving habits or using any service to get around, like Uber, then that pretty much defines your life. And this information is very valuable. And even if you can reset the ID, it's still always there is an ID.
Well, it's valuable to someone. I'm not sure if it's so valuable to the end user, but it seems to me that the issue is that we don't have so much control. And so I'm thinking, let's maybe jump into it. There's a complainant in this case, and it's an Austrian-based nonprofit called NYOB. Matthias, you're in Vienna. What is NYOB?
NYOB came to existence after a Viennese user, Max Schrems, decided to go after Facebook in a data privacy complaint. He had to give this complaint to the, Irish regulator, because that's where Facebook's European headquarters is registered. And he tried, and there was a lot of discussion about that back then, and the lawsuit. If it is an Austrian Kurd even able to go after Facebook and so on? So there was much and much to talk about. And after that first Kurd case, I think it was basically constructed about following you around on the internet, unwanted tracking. He decided to build up this nonprofit with likely-minded people. And now they found out, yeah, there's another big thing that nobody is talking about yet. And so they discovered they have to do something about the Android advertising ID. because it's sold as a user, as a service to the user.
At the core of it is that, if I'm not mistaken, is that Google doesn't allow you to not be tracked. There's no way to opt out of this. Is that more or less the issue with, or that NYOB has brought to the fore?
Yeah, it definitely is the basic fact that you can't be not tracked while using an Android device. If you have an Android device, and let's say you use that Android device to do online shopping, or getting a ride, then this operator, like an Amazon shop app or the ride app, knows your user credentials. So if this app tracks your advertising ID, they immediately notice if your advertising ID changes and can reassociate it with your profile. So whenever you think you are, you did recently reset it and now you're going to another shop, there will be a way to even retrospectively, like a few days later, reassign your new ID to your old ID. So basically you're back in your profile and your new data can be added to the old profile and be made more valuable. If you give out your computer or your Android device to a friend while you're talking about something and they show you something that they have bought for their garden, like they say, we bought this nice patio, whatever, for our garden, and you don't have a garden, you will notice you get garden advertisements in the next 2 weeks.
I've seen something like
this. And it even crosses devices. So if you... I happen to use a strict work computer and a strict home computer, and they are not even the same operating system, and they're not going via the same connections and so on. But I must have taken my private laptop to the guest Wi-Fi in the office once. And a day later, I got YouTube suggestions that might have come from other users in my company and vice versa. So I took the laptop to work, and then I found out I get video suggestions that I looked up, like the series or the comedian I looked up the day before at home. So there must be some sort of very intelligent algorithm that helps Google to connect profiles, or maybe even suspect a connection of profiles. So Google does not necessarily need to know that you're the same person. It's just like somebody near you found this thing valuable. So you might get, if you're traveling and you are staying a little bit longer in a foreign country, you get content suggested in this from this other country, even when you're back to your hometown.
Well, okay, I'm going to get to that in just a minute, because that actually brings up another court case that's going on. But let me wrap up this specific investigation by just clarifying. So the way it will work is that NYOB has filed, and by the way, NYOB, for those who don't know, the organization stands for None of Your Business. This organization has filed a complaint in Ireland. Now the Irish courts have to act on it. Is that how this will work? Everything will happen in Ireland?
I haven't followed, since I'm more technically orientated in that case. I haven't followed up the exact legal proceedings that are now ongoing. But the thing is, they want to prove under the European Data Protection Regulations, GDPR, they want to prove that this is not in any way allowed. So if they prove that Google has to supply a mechanism like Apple does to actually not send an identifier, like in an iPhone, when you disable, I think they say in iOS, it's called something like relevant ads or something. It's sold to you as something that helps you. But if you disable that, your iPhone will basically send all zeros as an ID. In Android, you only get a new ID, and of course it can be reassociated, and you would have to reset it every hour basically when you're using your phone. Otherwise you can, there's still a possibility to get tracked anyway.
Yeah, terribly inconvenient. So this is one court case going on. Then there's a couple of others that have been going on. I guess Google's under active GDPR investigation related to a number of other issues, no?
Of course, it's their main business to provide valuable advertising to advertisers. So you're not the customer of Google, you are the product. So when you are using Gmail, you are a user of a Google service. Even if you are buying the business package of Gmail, they still make some sort of cross-reference to their advertising program. And even if it's just by using general statistics, when are people up? So basically, they can Google can locate you in what time zone you're living, even if you're like working at night and sleeping during the day, because sometimes you have to shop, sometimes you have to pick up packets or so on. So basically, I guess they have markers that will find a way to make you a valuable product. And that's exactly the stuff that's going on inside the European Union and the case under GDPR to make a case that the regulating body where your company is registered should have to process that. We know from the story of Apple that the Irish body is very, very industrial friendly in that case. So actually it was fined that it was decided by a European court that the Irish Data Protection Commission has to fine Apple like 1 point something billion euros or something like that. It was a huge amount. And actually, they didn't want to give out this fine to Apple. They didn't want the money. They said, yeah, they are so nice. We not want to give them a fine. And the European court said, you have to, because that's how the law works.
Right. Well, there's a ton of implications for Ireland, of course, in terms of tax as well. So that's a complicated legal issue for Apple and the Irish relationship. But now, under Europe's GDPR laws, data regulators have, as you indicated, major penalty powers.
They have powers to fine, I think, up to 5% of global income. No, not even income. I think it's
Global annual turnover.
Yeah, it's 5% of global turnover. So that's a really huge number. Yeah, and I guess that 5% is for repeated offenders. But this is one of the main stories here, that if somebody proves that a company has systematically broken GDPR regulations, then they can prove that again. It's not like that the business model of Google will go away when they get fined once.
Well, you say that, but is it not the case that the European authorities have the ability to force Google to cease and desist?
I guess, like most in advertising, there is much and much fuss about the value of the product. So in the beginning, they say, yeah, if we do that, it's our business value goes down, so we have to fight against that. But in the end, they find another way to do advertising. Advertising is not uncommonly associated with a very creative business, like creative agencies, picture agencies. A lot of creative work and artistic work is taken from the artistic field into design and advertising. So my opinion is that it just is the next evolutionary step in advertising, and from, like you say, offline advertising to media advertising like radio, TV, and then there was a transition to online and to interactive advertising. And then remember when Google bought YouTube for $1.6 billion or something like that, everybody said they're crazy. They will never get a business model out of YouTube. How they will do that?
But a really good decision.
Yeah, but think about it. They said Google will never get money out of YouTube. You cannot put pump up so much advertising in that it will be profitable. And right now, if you open up YouTube, you will see inserted ads. You will see pre-roll, post-roll, sometimes even advertising breaks as you would see on commercial TV stations for decades. And they are actually much, much more profitable in that now. So,
Well, indeed, who could have predicted that PewDiePie, a gamer from a Scandinavian community, would be the, I guess, possibly the largest profit center on YouTube, at least any single profit center on YouTube. I mean, the guy's got millions of subscribers, and you know what value is he delivering? So it's really become a really remarkable platform, both for advertising and delivering content.
And it is actually a media trading platform now. Because if we see a traditional TV outlet or media outlet putting up content of their regular linear TV channel every day on YouTube, then you would think, yeah, they must sue Google, because you know all their content is up there and they're not getting anything out there. And then you notice, hey, just a second, that's a registered channel that belongs to the TV station. So right now TV stations are producing content, and instead of leaving it in their archive after broadcasting it or reruns, they just uploading it to YouTube because they now trust Google to collect money for them. And by collecting money, they can sell ads very targeted, because they know the audience now. And on the other hand, they are now a money broker. So you put in your valuable content produced for TV, let's say $1,000 a minute. So that's not very expensive. So, but something like that. It's not a movie then, but you put up your content there and you actually get money back. And that's you see that this market is huge. And if the advertisings in there are not directed or not only connected to the content of what the person is talking about, because we both know that that might be high quality content, but it might be somebody trying out looks on their face and facial expressions and nothing else. And still, you can find ads relevant to your profile, and they are valuable for Google. And so they can pay out this money, part of that money, to the producers. And so therefore it's very, very important to accept that Google is a major factor now in not only in search as we traditionally know it, but in advertising and pushing money between creatives and content producers. So taking the money from advertisers to putting it to the producers. I would say that Google is on the brink of being too large to fail. You can't put Google out of business now, because it would take a big hit on lots of these small producers. And therefore, the commission and the Data Protection Commission and all regulating bodies involved with it have to define a way for Google to make business. And this kind of business is now being the big money broker in the middle between content makers and advertisers.
So let's leave it there. Thanks, Matthias.
It was a pleasure being there again.
And listeners, that will do it for another edition of the Euro Digital Partners Insights podcast. Find us online at eurodigitalpartners.com/insights. And for comments or suggestions for future episodes, email us at info@eurodigitalpartners.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're there at EUDigitalP. Finally, please leave a 5-star review for us on iTunes and wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. Be sure to head over to beatyourcompetitiononline.com to get enrolled in the best and most practical digital marketing course on the internet. I'm Sean Patterson with Matthias Subic. Thanks, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.